This is Conor Lennon from UN News. On Tuesday, the UN Children's Fund UNICEF revealed that a stark proportion of the world's children are not receiving adequate nutrition, with half of all children under five lacking essential vitamins and nutrients in their diets for proper development. The agency's senior advisor for infant and young child nutrition, France Béguin, says the figures from UNICEF's most comprehensive report on the issue in 20 years demonstrate a need for families and children to demand nutritious food. Malnourishment has been described as a triple burden by UNICEF, encompassing undernutrition, being overweight, and nutrient deficiencies or hidden hunger. Ms. Béguin spoke with UN News' Natalie Hutchison about how a changing world is transforming the issue of, and solution to, broken food systems.
I think even like 20 years ago, we did talk also about hidden hunger. It was a term that was used, but very much associated with undernutrition, though then with children who are, you know, really malnourished, who are wasted or stunted. But now what we are saying is that even if you have like, even in children, in fact, who are suffering from overweight or obesity, you can still have those deficiencies because these foods, these unhealthy products, they may give you, you know, enough calories and enough fat and sugar. And in fact, too much of that, but very little in terms of vitamins and minerals. So, and it's often a misconception. One may think that a child who is suffering from overweight and obesity is a healthy child, but it is not. It is a child who is often doesn't have sufficient vitamins and minerals in his or her nutrition, in his daily intake. We have also to recognize that climate change is also impacting on the food that is being produced, the food that is available. You know, when you have families that depend on one type of culture to feed their families, and if there's like suddenly a flood or a drought, this may change completely, you know, what a family will be able to afford and eat. And it forces also sometimes families to move in urban areas and living in slums where you have less access to, you know, healthy food. So also highlighting that the whole issue around climate change has an impact, a direct impact on our food systems as well.
Right. How does it compare between the developing world and higher income countries, this issue of malnutrition?
So obviously in the higher income countries, we still talk much more about issues of overweight and obesity. We don't have as much of undernutrition, although we may have children who don't have enough vitamins and minerals, as I just mentioned, because the food that they eat is not of high quality. Our report was highlighting, you know, that the proportion of children who eat fruits and vegetables is on a daily basis is very low, and you see that as much in high income countries as in low or middle income countries. In the low middle income countries, we see this combination of undernutrition and in some countries increase in overweight. I would say the majority of the malnutrition issues are still related to undernutrition in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia. We have some countries like middle northern Africa where you do have really now an increased number, very important numbers of children with overweight and obesity, a country like Egypt, for example. And in South Africa also, there's been an increase in overweight and obesity in children. Latin America, it's the same. So these countries have really a combination of issues. But I would say what is common across, whether we talk low, middle, and high-income countries, is really this unhealthy food environments, you know, like most countries now have access to fast food that is, of course, often cheaper than healthy food. And this is, we see that like in India, in Vietnam, there's been an increase of 80 to 100% of you know, this kind of access to fast food in these countries.
Absolutely. And the report discusses that this is happening at the onset of life, right? The problem of malnourishment. Why are the first 1,000 days of a child's life so crucial for nutrition?
Yeah, this is really the what we call the window of opportunity, the first 1,000 days where, you know, the mother, when she's pregnant, need to have an adequate nutrition, adequate weight gain, because this would impact directly on her child development and, you know, birth weight to start with. So a child, once the child is born, you know, we of course want to make sure that this child gets the best to start with, and breast milk is the first food that a child should be receiving exclusively for the first 6 months, because it does have a direct impact on the development, physical and mental development of the child. And so we put a lot of emphasis on that, so that the child, you know, starts on the right foot. And from 6 months, making sure that, you know, like, because the child has a very small stomach, making sure that the food that the child receives is of very high nutrient quality and of variety, so that this will help improve and contribute to the development of the child in the first couple of years of life. And these habits, you know, also the feeding habits that are developed, like the way food is introduced to the child, how meal becomes an important moment and time also for interaction with the child, all these aspects will influence the development of the child. And the emphasis on the first 1,000 days is we always need to, you know, to highlight it.
And can breastfeeding be life-saving?
Absolutely, yes. In many countries where, you know, we still have issues of access to, you know, adequate health services, where having, you know, issues with water and sanitation will improve a child's survival. But not only in those circumstances, a child who is breastfed have a better immunity system. So this would be also less likely to have common illnesses, common infections. And a child who is also breastfed have, you know, for a longer time, has also less risk of developing overweight and diabetes in the long run.
Definitely. So are milk substitutes and formulas not cutting it in terms of providing enough nutrition?
This is something that we are very much want to emphasize. So a mother is free to make the choice to decide to breastfeed or not breastfeed, and she need to be enabled to make the choice if she wants to breastfeed or not. But she needs also to be supported in her decision. So sometimes the mothers who is working doesn't have enough maternity leave, doesn't have a choice, and will have to give up often breastfeeding. So if we put the conditions, you know, where she's enabled to breastfeed, this is definitely the best thing to offer. And breast milk substitutes, you know, they have their place also in the feeding of a child when the mother decides to do so. They have vitamins and minerals, but it will never compare in terms of the full compositions to breast milk, and also in terms of the immunological factors, the whole impact on the child microbiome, and the impact on brain development.
And how is UNICEF promoting this message? And also, what other steps is the agency taking to tackle the issue of malnutrition?
You know, we want to first emphasize that families, children, and adolescents, because they also are able to make choices in terms of the food they want to eat. So we want to empower those families and children to really demand nutritious food. So it is important to have, you know, good nutrition education to these families, to these children, and it can start, you know, through the health centers in schools. The way the, you know, advertisements are made need to be also controlled. Advertisement of unhealthy products, this need to be controlled. So the whole food environment need to be much more healthier. So controlling marketing of inappropriate food, of unhealthy food, including also taxations on products like sugar, like sweetened beverage, that are like very that have a very negative impact on developing overweight and diabetes over time if it's consumed in too high amount. And we have a good example from countries that have used that. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, the front label packaging, where consumers know a little bit more, okay, is that food good or not for me? Is it too high in fat, in sugar, in salt? So having something simple, and several countries have examples where they're using that, and it's helping consumers to make the right choice. And obviously asking also the food producers and suppliers who ultimately are the ones that produce the food to really make much more nutritious and affordable food so that families are not faced with this difficult choice of, you know, not being able to feed their child adequately. So it's really a call for actions to all parts of the society. It's a collective effort that we need to do really to change our food environments and give the best chance to our children.